My resistance ain't that strong. My mind keeps recreating a life with you alone. And I'm tired of pretending I don't love you anymore. Let me make one last appeal to show you how I feel about you. Cause there's no one else, I swear, holds a candle anywhere next to you. My heart can't take the beating, not having you.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The situation in Haiti still dangerous despite the prime minister's agreement to step down to help curb the gang violence that's gripping the capital. U.S. Marines also on the ground there helping secure the U.S. embassy. ABC's Matt Rivers has more.
The elite anti-terrorism unit in place to reinforce security at the U.S. embassy, which remains open. Members of Congress stepping up, organizing a private evacuation of 10 Americans. But the vast majority of Americans, like Jill Dolan, can't escape.
Every day I wake up thinking, Lord, please send us a chopper.
She's calling on the U.S. government to begin evacuations.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer calling for a new election in Israel. Schumer says Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's government and operations in Gaza are hurting Israel's long-term future. GOP Senate Leader Mitch McConnell calling that suggestion, quote, grotesque. Major storms across the U.S. with reported tornadoes in the Midwest last night and heavy snow in the Rockies. This is ABC News. In Michigan, it's day two of jury deliberations in the involuntary manslaughter trial of James Crumbly, the father of the Oxford High School shooter.
The key question for jurors to decide, could James Crumbly have foreseen and somehow prevented his son Ethan's deadly rampage that killed four fellow students at Oxford High School in Michigan in November 2021? County Prosecutor Karen McDonald telling jurors in her closing argument not to be fooled by Crumbly's defense lawyers blaming others.
And the blame shifting is only meant to send a message, I'm not accountable here at all.
The closing argument from Crumbly's attorney telling jurors he had no idea his son was so troubled he would kill. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
Keurig is going green, testing a new line of environmentally friendly pods for its single-serve coffee makers. They're 100% compostable and replace the single-use plastic cups, but you'll need to buy a new Keurig when the pods hit the market. The new pods won't work in the old machines. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Some days, my active psoriatic arthritis makes it hard to get in the game. Now, the ball is in my court. Thanks to treating my skin and joints with SKYRIZI, risankizumab RIZA, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults.
Nothing is everything.
SKYRIZI helps with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. For those who also have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible with just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to SKYRIZI. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With SKYRIZI, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about SKYRIZI and visit SKYRIZI.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayla. A bill barring transgender athletes from female team sports in Wisconsin will be vetoed.
The Republican-authored measure passed the state Senate in a near-party-line vote on its last session day Tuesday, prompting a question from Beloit Democrat Mark Spreitzer.
How many times does Governor Evers have to veto or promise to veto a bill like this or others like it that target transgender Wisconsinites?
The
bill would require separate K-12 men's, women's, and co-ed teams and prohibit biologically male students from playing on any women's team. Evers quickly promised a veto of the bill. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Racine County District Attorney's Office is investigating complaints of identity theft related to the effort to recall Assembly Speaker Robin Voss.
District Attorney Patricia Hansen says her office has been getting numerous complaints from residents that their names appear on the petitions to recall Voss without them signing papers. That recall effort is led by supporters of Donald Trump, who are upset that Voss did not do enough to support the former president's false claims of election fraud. The Wisconsin Elections Commission says the recall effort didn't get enough signatures to recall Voss. Raymond Newpert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Former Northwoods Elementary teacher won't go to trial as planned next week for possession of child pornography.
After a series of motion hearings this week, Lucas Ashbrenner had his trial reset for mid-August. The 46-year-old is facing up to 50 years in prison after investigators say they found multiple images on his devices and in his online accounts back in 2023. In the meantime, he's free on a $25,000 cash bond but cannot leave Oneida or Vilas counties without prior approval and isn't allowed to access the internet. Ashbrenner was a teacher at the Minocqua Hazelhurst Lake Tomahawk Elementary. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
When you try Grandpa's barbecue, will it be sweet? No. Fiery hot, fruity, or honey flavored? We think not. Instead, Grandpa's barbecue is the true original flavor of barbecue. Without the hype, the additives, or the hoopla. Because this is a family recipe that's handed down by Grandpa himself. Grandpa's barbecue. Available in select stores and online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. More clouds than sun today as a storm system strikes to the south. This is why winds are a bit breezy today, but high temperatures, warmest in the state, climbing to the upper 50s. Will be bright and beautiful tomorrow when a touch cooler, sliding into the low 50s. One call to Tax Solutions Now will solve all of your IRS problems. 1-800-281-8193. Right now, it's 49.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovia, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
From Allendale, then it's U.S. Representative Sam Graves from Missouri, and later Tim Lugensland from Wells Fargo. Directly following the news, Greg Henderson from Drovers. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Lowry.
Okay, so how many digits can you do pie out to?
I can do like two of them, I think.
Yeah. There's see, that's me too. 3.14, right?
And 1.4. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I need.
3.1. But I'm not even going to try to go any further than that.
Well, and for most of my equations, you know, just the standard 3.14 usually covers it.
Okay.
You know, a lot of rhombuses involved in my research.
Right.
Geometric patterns. Sorts of things. I don't want to get too technical.
Dude, I want to stop because all I'm thinking about right now is like mixed berry. And pecan and key lime and pumpkin.
One time I multiplied a key lime pie by pie and I got Chuck Berry.
Nice.
I don't know how that works.
Nice. Worked out just fine for you is what
just
it did.
Fine. You betcha.
Exactly.
I think pie is like math's version of leap year, where everything's supposed to fit perfectly, but it doesn't quite, and we have to kind of fix it once every 4 years.
Okay.
The crowbar of the mathematics is pie.
It's a fudge factor. Fudge pie.
That sounds delicious.
Fuzzy math.
Man, oh, man. I'm going to get okay, that's it. I'm distracted the rest of the day now.
Oh, no.
Thank
shiny
you.
Shiny things. So much shiny math.
Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis and Big Apple Joe Stackler. Holy smokes. We got a lot of ground that we're going to cover in today's show. We're going to talk about the Allendale survey of planting intentions for corn, soybeans, spring wheat, right down the list of a long list of potential crops in the U.S. We are going to talk about rural development, the E-Bridge Act, with Representative Sam Graves. And then we're going to talk renewable diesel at the end of the show today. Greg Henderson coming up next. Yeah, we got a lot of ground to cover today. Let's go ahead and get started. What do you got in the news?
Sure thing. Well, I've got private exporters reporting sales of 100,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to Mexico during the 23-24 marketing year, a piece of positive daily demand news.
Yeah, and it's good to get that, that's for sure. It is daily export sales on corn is something that has been missing from the equation for corn in this recovery. And and here we go. We are finally starting to get some.
National Weather Service looking for heavy snow through today from the central Rockies, foothills, and nearby high plains before gradually tapering off on Friday. A long-duration event of mountain snow and lower elevation rain expected to develop over the Four Corners region beginning Friday. Severe thunderstorms and excessive rainfall expected to push southward from the east central plains this morning and into southeastern Texas by Saturday morning. Very mild and warm weather expands eastward from the central to the eastern U.S. going into the weekend.
Yeah, a little chillier this weekend. Warm it up again next week.
In February 2024, the producer price index for final demand in the U.S. increased by 0.6% compared to the previous month, which is the largest rise since August of the previous year, doubling market expectations of a 0.3% increase. Key sectors experiencing growth in Feb included building materials, gardening equipment sales, which increased by 2.2%. Motor vehicles and part dealers also saw a notable rise, while electronics appliance stores experienced a 1.5% increase.
Yeah, let's maybe push that interest rate cut a little further down the road, maybe well into the second half of the year now.
Well, TIP representatives from 49 U.S. companies and organizations will join the Department of Ag Agribusiness trade mission to Seoul, South Korea, led by Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Ag Affairs Alexis Taylor. The mission takes place March 25 through 28. South Korea, TIP ranks as the United States' fifth largest single export market.
Right, and these trade missions are the headliners for the administration when it comes to ag trade. So you either hit with these trade missions or you miss.
Yeah, and get this. The UK recently signed a trade agreement with the state of Texas as negotiations for a post-Brexit deal with the wider United States have stalled. In other news, unit sales of 100-plus horsepower ag tractors increased slightly in February in the U.S., according to new data from the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. The month recorded an increase of 2.8% compared to last year. However, year-to-date data reflects sales below 2023 in total units of ag tractors and combines. The Sierra Club has filed a lawsuit against the Securities and Exchange Commission in response to a recently released SEC rule regarding climate disclosure requirements for publicly traded companies. According to the Sierra Club, the new rule fails to provide investors with sufficient information regarding companies' potential exposures to climate risks.
Yeah, we talked about this from the cattleman's perspective last week, and it's good news for farmers because it reduces what could have been some very burdensome bookkeeping and documentation.
And quickly here, Walmart recently announced an investment in new milk processing facility in Robinson, Texas that will open in 2026. The facility will support nearly 400 jobs in the community and allow Walmart to meet the growing demand from customers. Chip.
Got it. All right. Let's bring in, thank you, Davis. Let's bring in Greg Henderson, Editorial Director at Drovers. How you doing, Greg?
Good morning, Chip. I'm great. How are you?
We're doing just fine. Talk to me about what you have learned about meat sales so far this year.
So in February, the meat report, the data is out, and the price for all cuts, all kinds of meat, $4.60 a pound. That's up just 1% from last year. But on the beef side, it's $6.46 fresh beef price is the average in February, and that's up 6.5%, Chip. Meanwhile, our competition chicken at 307 is down 1.5%. Pork is down 0.4% in price. So there's plenty of competition for the beef spenders there. However, total fresh meat sales and fresh beef is at $2.8 billion, and that's up 6% just on the volume. So consumers still spend a lot of money on beef, and as we know, eating out is getting expensive. get this, Chip, the fast food restaurants saw a 5.2% increase in February in price compared to a 3.8% for that retail grocery store price. So fast food's expensive, getting more so. A lot of that has to do with the labor that they have to, you know, the raises they've gotten for labor and those costs.
Yeah, those fast food costs in particular, it's a trend that started with COVID, but more people eating at home, right?
Absolutely, more people are eating at home. One tidbit I'll share with you on the Super Bowl, Chip. Consumers say they spent $36 for snacks for during the game.
An average of $36. Interesting. Yep. Seems like a lot for eating at home during a big football game. But
there it is. Seems like you could buy a steak or two for that.
Dude, we got K-State, Iowa State tonight. Big 12 tourney.
Yes, we do. We need another upset of those Cyclones.
Go Cyclones!
To get to the tournament.
Are you ready for better efficiency, more productivity, higher yields? Then you're ready for John Deere Precision Technology, which starts with three core pieces. First, a G5 display gives fast views of your work and a window to future technology. A Starfire receiver gives you sub-inch repeatable accuracy without an RTK base station. And a JD Link modem gives you a live view of your entire operation. Get precise and talk with your John Deere dealer or visit johndeere.com/basic.
All right, let's see here. Acuron corn herbicide. Powerful weed control? Check. Long-lasting residual? Check. Proven crop safety? Check. Acuron checks all the boxes, which is why it outperforms and outyields all other corn herbicides by 5 to 15 bushels an acre. Talk to your local Syngenta retailer or visit findmorebushels.com to discover your revenue potential today. Always read and follow label instructions. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
In the beginning, there were soybean plants, and something big was about to happen. Except it didn't, because stresses like heat and drought struck during the flowering stage, preventing bloom and so much more. But then Agroxene said, "Let there be Smartfoil." And the big bloom came, because Smartfoil is a biological foliar application that increases pod count and yield potential by reducing abiotic stress. So bloom big in 2024. Ask your retailer about Smartfoil by Agroxene, or visit bigbeanbloom.com to...
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
AgriTalk is brought to you by John Deere. For generations before and generations to come, John Deere is part of your farm and your family. Whatever your technology needs, John Deere has the tools to help grow your farm.
Davis, I think Greg Henderson had more to say about the Kansas State, Iowa State game than I did. My message is pretty simple. Go Cyclones.
Uh-huh.
It sounds like he had a whole lot more that he wanted to say about that.
I think he really did, but you've got the bullet.
It really
pulpit,
breaks my heart that we cut him off.
Yeah, he's gone. You're still here.
Yeah. That's exactly right. So I will say it again. Go Cyclones. All right. This next guest is very familiar to the afternoon listeners of AgriTalk. But Rich has been on the morning show as well, and he joins us again right now. Rich Nelson, Chief Strategist at Allendale Inc. How you doing there, Rich?
Doing fantastic. How about yourself there, Chip?
Doing real fine. You were with us, as a matter of fact, not that long ago down at Commodity Classic, as you were kind of in the middle of the survey for 2024 acres, right?
That is right. And we were really trying to see, especially at that in-person discussion with a lot of producers at the Commodity Classic, about this discussion with acreage changes. And at that time, we were not seeing what we expected to see. Right. So that's something we kind of carried through with the rest of the survey through the next week and a half there.
You know, when you had the discussion down at Commodity Classic that, all right, you know, everybody's looking for this big cut in corn acres, maybe we're not seeing that in the survey to this point, I thought to myself, good grief, for Rich to say that about a survey that's ongoing, it must really be leaning in you know, up or above expectations on corn. And we'll get to those numbers here in a moment. But, yeah, it certainly did. Before we get to the numbers, Rich, we got to lay some groundwork here. You mentioned the work that you did down at Commodity Classic in the face-to-face conversations. But who did you survey, and how did you do the survey?
So this is a survey of U.S. producers, and frankly, we just want to see everybody from every state if we can. And this is conducted either in person, like we mentioned at the Commodity Classic, phone call, or producers can submit their own estimates by themselves using the internet as well. So that's our discussion. U.S. farmers, we want to know what corn, soybean, and wheat acreage was, if possible, cotton and some of the other small grains. But for the most part, this is a corn, soybean discussion, and we really want to try to get some solid answers before USDA's report at the end of the month.
Okay. How much area did the survey cover?
So we had 28 separate states, and we had valid numbers to cover about, I want to say, 9 or 10 of the main core states. So this represents about 77-78% of U.S. corn and soybean ground. So this is really a Midwest and portions of the plains survey for the most part here.
But clearly representative if you get that much.
It is. And really our main questions, we know most of the Illinois and Iowa producers are going to stay with standard rotation. Our question was really about people in the plains, North Dakota down through Texas. Are they going to switch? Because those are people who often make more active changes with acreage. And that was our key focus really with this year's survey.
Okay. Gotcha. This year's survey. How long has Allendale been doing the survey?
Well, I want to say, so I've been with Allendale for 27 years, I want to say. I think we've done this for at least 25 of those years. So we've got a good history. We do understand how our survey compares with USDA. We do understand those type of adjustments. So we've done this a bit. So we should have a reasonable chance of coming close to USDA there.
Okay. So what is the history there? And let's start with this. What set of USDA acreage estimates do you want this survey compared to?
So we want this compared with their own March 28th survey, the prospective plantings, which come out. And pretty much we fine-tune this to cover the exact same dates for the most part as USDA's own survey. In fact, maybe a little wider range. And this is our main point for estimating that. We understand that the final numbers will be different, but our goal is, what is USDA's March report most likely going to say?
Okay. So how's it done in the past? How well has it matched up with the prospective plantings report?
So just using the past 10 years, for instance, we've got the direction right on corn in 10 of the past 10 years, direction right on soybeans in 9 of the past 10 years. And I will say very clearly, the soybean numbers are usually a little jumpy. They do bounce around a bit. And as far as being accurate with the acreage numbers, in the past 10 years, we've come within, I want to say, 1.5 million acres for the corn side. And I want to say for soybeans, we're usually within about 2 million acres. Again, there's a little wider variance with soybeans. Those numbers do bounce around just a little bit more than the corn side.
Okay. All right. I think we've laid all the groundwork so that we can understand what these numbers mean, right?
We certainly can. I think that's a trade discussion. It really, are we going to get that main switch from corn to soybeans? And that's really the main question we're asking for this year's specific survey here.
Exactly. Now, a year ago, 94.6 million acres planted to corn. Soybeans, 83.6 million acres planted to soybeans. What are the trends from the survey that you see this year?
So main point for us on the corn side, you know, we started off last month with USDA's own Ag Forum conference suggesting corn acres down 3.6 million. Our survey only reined that in. We reined that into about only a 1.2 million acre cut. So a bit different than what USDA suggested last month. Soybean numbers, USDA had suggested a 3.9 million acre increase. In this case, only about a 2.2 million acre increase. Okay. So both corn and soybeans, perhaps not seeing that major switch that was discussed last month.
Yeah, movement in the direction that the market has anticipated over the winter, just not as far as maybe what's been built into prices. Can we go that far?
I do think that some of this has been baked into prices, especially with the soybean side. And we got to point out this soybean rebound, at least, is getting a bit respectable. And perhaps we are losing some of that bearish influence from this from the perception of a 4 million acre increase.
Corn and soybean acres combined, according to your survey, 179.3 million. How does that number feel to you?
For the most part, it feels fine. And keep in mind, we are expecting an overall light drop in overall acres. So corn, soybeans, wheat, also cotton, also the small grain. So all those put together should see some type of light net decline for this year. And obviously, our questions are going to be really on the wheat side and cotton, kind of fill in the questions with fill in the blanks for the corn and soybean ideas here.
Yeah. That cotton question is going to be a big one as we make our way through spring and trying to figure out exactly how that is going to play out. Now, you also surveyed for spring wheat, didn't you?
Yes, we did.
And okay, what'd you
find
there? We
do have quite active coverage for that North Dakota and portion of South Dakota, portion of Montana. We actually do have good coverage for those producers up there. So as far as the winter wheat discussion, USDA suggested about a 2.4, 2.5 million acre drop. Our survey reined that in to only about a 2.0 million acre drop. The question on the spring wheat issue is we actually suggested that we'd see about 50,000 acres higher than last year for spring wheat. So that's the question for us. Down on winter wheat, a very minor rebound for the other spring and Durham wheat here.
You know, they seem to be looking for some alternatives up there to corn and soybeans, and spring wheat is obviously one of the things that they can jump to. On production, total production, what does this suggest for the supply side of the balance sheet on corn for 2024-25, Rich?
So, you know, using our numbers for percent harvested as well as our viewpoint on trend yield, this does put this corn crop at a 15.5 billion bushel crop. And that would be a record, and that would be about 173 million over last year. And as a reminder to our audience, guys, it's not just the production issue. It's the fact that we're carrying in a large increase in beginning stocks from this old crop situation. So the total supply situation would be almost 985 million bushels over last year. So this is a problem for us on corn side.
17 billion something.
That's right. I've got 17.7.
Yeah, 17.7 billion on the total supply. We need to figure out how we're going to use more of that, no doubt about it. Beans, is that a record? Would that be a record bean crop?
And we don't have it as a record. I want to say this is probably number four, number five there.
Okay. All right. So a little easier to manage on the supply side of things there. Wow. Music is playing. Rich, that went really fast. Dude, thanks for doing the survey. This is hard work, and trying to make sense and help us make sense of what the numbers are telling us is really important work. Thank you.
Sure, appreciate it. Thank you so much, sir.
You bet. That is Rich Nelson. He is the chief strategist at Allendale Inc. We're going to have a conversation with Representative Sam Graves next.
Go on the offensive against weeds with Antares Complete from Helena. Antares Complete eliminates early weed competition with long-lasting residual control of broadleaf weeds and grasses. With a balanced premix of three herbicides, Antares Complete combats herbicide resistance and helps soybeans achieve a faster, more vigorous start to the season. Take a tactical first strike against weeds. Protect your soybeans early with Antares Complete. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
Farmers are the heartbeat of rural America.
Congress recently invested $20 billion in America's farmers and ranchers, focusing on conservation practices and profits for future generations. Today, these funds are at risk.
You're squawking over $20 billion. That USDA program, it's investment into the future for everybody.
If the funding was eliminated, it could hurt farms and families.
Tell Congress, protect this generational investment in the Farm Bill. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from...
You've paid top dollar for that new truck. Protect your investment with a new fabric sprayed-on bedliner from Osseo Plastics and Supply. A fabric bedliner protects your truck from rust and corrosion, and the permanent protective bond protects your truck from scratches. The anti-skid feature keeps your cargo from sliding around. The eye-catching bedliner looks factory installed, conforms to your accessories, and will increase your resale value of your truck. Find out how a fabric sprayed-on bedliner can work for you. Visit osseoplastics.com for more information.
Milk markets are higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, April milk up 21 to 1640, May up 6 to 1683, June up at 9 to 1760, July up 10 at 1820. Meanwhile, live cattle markets continue to move mostly lower. The cash trade hasn't developed, and trade isn't expecting that to happen until the end of the week. That's led to a risk-off type of trade. Feeder cattle moving mostly lower as well. Why? Because of the lack of support from the live cattle markets, and that's just led to a risk-off type of trade in the feeder cattle markets. Hog markets mostly mixed. We have seen some higher cash markets. That's helping to support at least the nearby contracts. April live cattle down 220 to 187.72. March feeder cattle down $1.87 to 248.40. April hogs up 30 cents now to 85.17. Chicago Board of Trade today. Corn markets are moving mostly lower. A lack of any type of fresh or bullish news and outside market pressure helping to have corn move lower. Wheat moving lower due to the continued strength in the dollar. Soybeans, though, they are moving up mostly higher. A little bit of short covering along with the concerns over how much Brazil beans will actually be produced. New crop corn down 5 to 4. 68. New crop beans up 2 to 11.88. May wheat down 12 and a quarter to 5.32.
When it comes to planting, we know that it takes more than just seed and soil. It's Matthew here with Bluff Country Feed and Seed, and I know that it takes quality seed, fertilizer, as well as expertise. That is how you build a proper foundation and lay down your roots. This is exactly why we can be your experts, because we are rooted here locally. We know Bluff Country because we live here with you. Strong roots lead to a strong business and a thriving community. So plant your roots with us at Bluff Country. Feed and Seed.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
The views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Florek. Glad you're with us. Davis, you know, we do kind of a fair amount of complaining about the dysfunction of Congress.
I know we do.
Yeah. But every now and then you can spot a committee that gets some stuff done. And this committee, the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, is actually getting stuff done. They're moving legislation. And they've got a budget and spending bills that need to be directed, and they're getting that job done. I want to talk with the chairman of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, U.S. Representative Sam Graves, representing the 6th District of Missouri. Chairman Graves, it's great to speak with you again. How are you?
Yeah, doing great. Doing great. We got rain last night, so doing even better.
Yeah, and he's a farmer. You can tell. You can tell right there when he throws that out that that Representative Graves is a farmer. We've talked about this one before, and it's the expansion of the rural access to internet. This one, the E-Bridge Act, eliminating barriers to rural internet development, Grant Eligibility Act. Tell us about this one.
So it's a real simple bill, and basically what it does is it provides for that last mile. In many cases, that is very expensive, and it's hard for small communities. You take like my community of Tarkio, they don't have the expertise to apply for grants. They don't have the resources, you know, the manpower to be able to apply for grants. So this completely wipes out the red tape and allows them to partner with some of the companies that are spreading broadband, implementing broadband, installing broadband throughout to get that last mile done. It uses the existing grant process and the existing funding process, but just completely eliminates all the red tape so communities can access these dollars.
Okay, so the last part of it, the GE, the grant eligibility, that's really the key to this, isn't it? It's helping, as you said, the communities figure out how to finish projects up, correct?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Getting it to the homes, and it's becoming more and more and more important just to function today, whether it's in business or education, telemedicine, you name it, to have, you know, fast internet service, fast broadband service. And so this just allows those communities to just be able to cut right through the red tape. They just simply don't have the resources,
yeah,
you know, the money to be able to do this.
Well, and speaking of the resources, a lot of times the resources are brought in by private industry, and this bill or this legislation encourages working with private industry, correct?
Absolutely. That's what it does, and that's what it focuses on. And it was hugely bipartisan. We're hoping the Senate moves it. We've been able to. Now it's passed out of the House overwhelmingly bipartisan, and it's on its way to the Senate. We've passed it before, and hopefully the Senate's pick it up.
Why hasn't the Senate already? This seems like such a no-brainer to me. Why hasn't the Senate picked it up before?
As much as anything else, to be quite honest, it's just a scheduling issue. They struggle with scheduling on the Senate side, being able to get legislation across the floor. We have argued, though, this is easy. It's very bipartisan, and it's something that could move very, very quickly, and hopefully they'll take that to take that into consideration.
If the Senate leadership wanted to get this done, they would find the time to schedule it.
Yes, that is absolutely correct. Yes.
So yes. It's not a scheduling issue. It's a leadership issue.
It's a leadership issue. It scheduling obviously plays into it, but it's still, you're absolutely correct. If they want this, it can easily be done, and Senator Schumer could bring it up instantly.
Yep. And I think if he would, I don't know, how do you vote against it?
Well, you don't, and that's the reason why in the House it passed overwhelmingly.
Yeah,
coming out, so it would be the same way in the Senate.
Be a nice test. Come on, Schumer.
Yeah,
it would be a really nice test if you want to see if the Senate can actually work together and get something done in a bipartisan way. Here's a good one to put in front of on the floor for a vote and see what happens. I hope they do this.
Well, you and I both.
Okay. All right. You know what? Let's put out the call to action. Call your senator. Call your senator and tell him that you need to get the E-Bridge Act on the Senate floor for a for a full Senate vote. We need to push this one forward. Another one, the Pony Up Act. What is this one?
So this is pretty simple, and we've actually got a couple of things going on in Congress as it deals with the post office. And the post office continues to struggle with rate increases. They continue to struggle with late mail. And what we're hearing, and every member of Congress out there is hearing from people, that they're getting late notices, or they're getting fined for paying bills late, or they're getting interest costs or late fees applied because bills are late. And basically this says that if somebody has gotten a late fee and charged even interest on top of that, if they've gotten a late fee as a result of the post office not delivering their payment on time, then the post office is going to pony up and they're going to pay it.
Got it. How widespread of an issue is that?
It's widespread. It's all over the it's all over the country, and it's getting worse and worse. Members of Congress are hearing about it through their constituent service arm of their office. They're hearing about it from everybody, and it isn't getting any better at all. Under the new leadership, the postal leadership, it has gotten worse, and I don't foresee it, unless they change the way they're doing business, it isn't going to get any better. They've had four rate increases just since 2021, and it continues to get worse, yet we're paying more.
Yep. Okay. That sounds like another good one to talk with your congressman about. I'm gonna go general with you here if that's okay because I'm curious what your thoughts were about last week's State of the Union address from President Biden.
Well, the thing that aggravated me as much as anything else was the way the president talks about standing with farmers, and yet we're not stupid. We see what. How laughable this is. If you look at what's happened with diesel fuel prices and the price of fertilizer, if you look at the fact that he has put radical environmentalists in charge of the EPA, and they continue to do everything they can to ban or restrict the use of herbicides and pesticides. Mm-hmm. He desperately wants to expand the death tax, which is a devastating impact, would have a devastating impact on farm families and our small communities. Death should not be a taxable event. He's just made it, a million times harder to be a farmer in this country. And it's hard enough the way it is. The fact that we're price takers on both ends, we're a price taker when it comes to all of our inputs, a price taker when it comes to all of our output. Mm-hmm. And then you throw the weather in. On top of that, it's hard enough to produce in the United States, and he's continued to make it even harder. And then to say that he stands with farmers and stands with agriculture is just laughable.
Yeah. Okay. What, from an observer's point of view there in the House, what's happening or maybe isn't happening with the farm bill?
So it's actually moving. It's taken some time, and obviously that coalition that we have between the nutrition programs and inner city, and then the outstate, agriculture, the actual farm bill component of it, which by the way is the smallest part of the bill now, is the actual farm component of it. That coalition is very fragile, and so it takes time to foster it and get it going, but we are seeing the bill move now. They're doing more work on it, and I'm optimistic that we're going to have it. It's vitally important. Most consumers don't understand that it's truly consumer food policy. It's not a farm bill. It's consumer food policy, and it maintains that safe, that affordable, and abundant food supply that we have here in the United States. We can take our food supply for granted as consumers, but that's because of the farm policy, the ag policy that we have. And it's an incredible thing to be able to say as a nation that we can take our food supply for granted. And unfortunately, though, that hurts agriculture.
Yep. Okay. Well, the House has got a motivated leader on this one. I hope that Chairman Thompson leads the way on it. Just got a text from a parent they want to know what Congress is going to do with TikTok and what they're going to have to deal with their kids on.
Well, it's, you know, right now, and you know, the unfortunate part is that you hear so many people say that this bans TikTok. It doesn't ban TikTok. It just requires that the Chinese government divest in it. And what's interesting is this wasn't a partisan vote by any stretch. 352 votes on the floor of the House. And we have the luxury, I guess you could say, of the intelligence. And we see what the Chinese government is doing with this information. And you know what's interesting? And we got a lot of calls from middle schoolers, interestingly enough, but we got a lot of calls from students when this came up, because on TikTok that morning when they opened up the app, they were told, you know, call your member of Congress, tell them this bill is bad. And they had to input their address to be able to find out who their member of Congress is. But yet when we asked them where they were from, they wouldn't tell us what their address was.
Right. Right. Interesting. We need to talk more often. Thank you so much, Congressman. We sure appreciate you.
You bet. Thank you.
All right. That is U.S. Representative Sam Graves, Chairman of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee.
Business owners own a custom-designed building from General Steel. Call 866-95-STEEL. 866-95-STEEL. That's 866-957-8335.
Tax Talk with Straight Talk.
You give and you give. This tax season, you get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data and a Samsung Galaxy A14 included when you buy an extended Silver Unlimited plan. So you can give your janky phone to your kid. Yeah!
Switch to Straight Talk. Find us at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com. Device offer ends 4/14/24. Taxes and fees apply.
This year, wouldn't it be great to stop dealing with thin, brittle, shedding hair and instead have the thick, healthy, gorgeous hair you've always wanted? Now you can by using Hair Volume from New Nordic. Look for Hair Volume at your local Walgreens and CVS or online at Amazon.com or NewNordicUSA.com.
I am James, senior apparel designer, and this is Behind the Design with Hawks. Hawks is your classic workwear brand. It's designed for those guys that are on the job site. Just driven performance, just rugged and comfortable. Thinking of durability, everything is either double, triple stitched, bar tacked. It's built durable. It's going to perform. It's going to move with you. It's going to have everything that you need in a product. Hawks, only at Boot Barn.
By texting 64,000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Babbel. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at babbel.com/TNC.
My new exercise bike. Yeah, more like my $1,500 coat rack.
At Babbel, we get it. Learning something new is hard, especially a new language.
My Spanish starts and ends at adios.
Make it easy on yourself with Babbel. In just 10 minutes a day, you can start having real conversations in as little as 3 weeks.
Hola, Español.
It starts here. To try Babbel free, text radio to 64,000. Text radio to 64,000.
At FBN Finance, we know there's one thing that unites all farmers. Progress. It drives them to wake up early and be better than the day before. And whether it's a new land purchase or refinancing your ranch, FBN Finance has the agricultural expertise to help you reach your goals. Simply put, FBN Finance puts farmers first. With great rates, instant approvals, and pre-qualifications on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. And now, you can get $500 off closing costs for loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
I taught for 20 years, until I started forgetting my lectures.
Eventually, he had to quit. Getting his early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard, but it gave us time to take control of the situation, together.
I can't imagine going through this without him.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Has your child swallowed your medicine, your laundry detergent, your nail polish remover? Call the Poison Helpline. Have you inhaled paint thinner, glue, pesticides? Call the Poison Helpline. Have a question about a dose, a fume, something your kid just drank? Call the Poison Helpline. Poisonings can happen at the home, on the job, or in the great outdoors. Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. 1-800-222-1222. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
AgriTalk is brought to you by ESN. Don't risk your nitrogen investment. ESN is designed to beat the five ROI killers and provide season-long end to your crop. Learn how ESN works at SmartNitrogen.com.
Welcome back. I'm Chip. Davis, as I mentioned at the start of the show, we're talking about some issues that are very important to all AgriTalk listeners, and one of those being the biofuel industry and the development of renewable diesel. And there's a new study out from Wells Fargo. Tim Lugesland, the dairy, grain, and oilseed sector manager at Wells Fargo Food and Agribusiness Industry, put together a study with Jeff Milliken from the Wells Fargo Commercial Banking Agribusiness Group. It's titled How Renewable Diesel is a Game Changer for the U.S. Soybean Market. And Tim joins us right now. Hey, Tim. Chip Flory here.
Chip.
How are you?
Glad to meet you. I'm glad to be here. We had a really good rain here in the Midwest last night, so it's a really great day. Everybody's in a good mood.
Amen to that. Amen. We're still getting it here in Northeast Iowa. It's cloudy and rainy, and I'm loving it. I'm loving it. We will take it. Okay. So, Tim, we talk about renewable diesel quite a bit, but let's make sure that everybody understands. There's a difference between renewable diesel and biodiesel, and the incentives behind renewable diesel production. Where is that incentive coming from?
Okay, renewable diesel is completely soybean oil, 100%. Biodiesel was soybean oil with about 80% of the content being petroleum-based. So we're talking a whole different animal, and it's going to consume a lot of soybeans. Now, the incentive, okay, this is different from the ethanol days where we had a mandate. Now, what we're striving for is a tax incentive, and the industry's on pins and needles waiting for Congress to finalize that. That's right. Going to be what they call the GREET method. That's greenhouse gases regulated emissions and energy use in technologies model, and there will be a tax credit of roughly $1.25 per gallon.
All right, it's right in the title, and I want to get to this, and I don't want to miss out on it, is the game-changing part of renewable diesel for the soybean market. How much of a game-changer?
Well, we're talking about value added, and let's go back to the ethanol days, the advent of ethanol in about 2003, where it decoupled the corn price from feed price. What it did was more align the corn price with gasoline prices. And so now, if this comes to fruition, the soybeans will be more tied to diesel fuel prices. And rising tides lift all the boats, and it'll be good for all of agriculture if this comes about.
Yeah, okay. What is the market today for soybean oil into the renewable diesel market? And more importantly, what might that market be in 2 or 3 years?
Okay. This is gets into an area of uncertainty right now. But let's say if the United States produces 4 billion bushels of soybeans a year, 2 billion bushels go into the crush market right now. Mm-hmm. Okay, that could continue to grow every year. We're talking up to the entirety of the U.S. production could go into it eventually. Okay, initially, it's going to come out of the export market. We need to be careful. We're not just going to stiff arm our trade partners that use soybeans for feed. The big majority of what's crushed, it goes out in a byproduct that soybean meal. That's what our trade allies want to want. They need that feedstock for their hogs and cattle. So we'll continue to export that.
Yeah. So we domesticate this bean market, keep more of it home to crush, use the soybean oil here, and find export demand for the meal.
That's correct. Now, we have to get better at exporting. Soybeans are easy. The meal tends to cake up in the containers, harden, if you will, and that's more difficult to unload. That whole supply chain is going to need to get a little bit better because we're going to be exporting a lot of soybean meal.
Right. Okay. What's the level of commitment from the players in the renewable diesel industry? Where is the money coming from to increase the output?
Okay, so I keep referring back to the advent of ethanol. Mm-hmm. This is different but similar, if you will. Back in the early 2000s, it was farmer groups, smaller co-ops building these structures. Now we're talking about nearly every major oil company and major grain company are making these investments. So these are large-scale investments. So when we talk about is this really going to happen or not, we're talking about the major global players in these industries that are putting up money now. Yeah. So that's a good indication that it makes sense and it will likely happen. Yeah. So we're talking about the names everyone would know in the oil and gas and grain industries.
Yeah, so if the refiners are putting money into this, that's a pretty good indication that this has got legs to it, right?
Correct. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. And then it all is leading us into sustainable aviation fuel, maritime fuel, the cleaner burning biofuels for the future. And boy, the future looks bright, doesn't it?
Chip, you're exactly right on that. And, okay, so we're getting into electric vehicles. There's no doubt about it. Everything's going electric. But when you've got tractors and train engines and airplanes that can't be electrified yet, I mean, that's a huge industry. Yet it needs to get more sustainable and cut emissions. And that's what this is all about. And that's why this really has merit.
Very cool. Tim, great conversation. Thank you.
You are welcome. Thank you, Chip.
You bet. That is Tim Lugensland. He is the dairy grain oilseed sector manager at Wells Fargo Food and Agribusiness Industry Advisor. Thank you so much for listening this morning. You got to come back this afternoon. Jeff Hogendorn from Professional Ag Marketing is going to be our guest in tomorrow morning. You know what it is? Free for all here on AgriTalk.
When we told growers that Bayer Premium Trifold herbicide for corn delivers visibly clean fields for up to 8 weeks, they were a bit skeptical.
We'll see how it works.
So we decided to prove it. We set up cameras in multiple cornfields, treated them with Trifold, and filmed for 24 hours a day. For 8 weeks, we saw a variety of weather conditions, and Trifold worked. See for yourself at TrifoldInAction.com. Trifold is a restricted-use pesticide. Consult your state pesticide regulator for specific restrictions. Read and follow pesticide label directions.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared.
That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate. Not one based on Carol. She's more focused on hitting a high note than the car in front of her. Why pay a rate based on anyone else? Get one based on you with DriveWise from Allstate.
Not available in Alaska or California. Subject to terms and conditions. Rates are determined by several factors, which vary by state. In some states, participation in DriveWise allows Allstate to use your driving data for purposes of rating. While in some states, your rate could increase with high-risk driving. Generally, safer drivers will save with DriveWise. Allstate Fire and